Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Jaden Daniels suffered a rib injury and had to leave the game, but it's uncertain what his status will be. His mother, Dr. Mom,
said
he's okay.
Yeah. Are you a doctor? Are you a doctor?
What she meant is the x-rays were negative. He didn't break a rib.
What Mom meant was that he's breathing.
He's fine.
He's fine.
Is this your place?
No. No, 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 no. No, I live with my mom.
Oh.
Yeah. You hungry? Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
Don't worry about him.
Have you ever trusted family members or parents when dealing with injury stories?
I have consulted with family members on occasion with injuries, and they usually have good information. I don't think Mom's out there lying to us. Is that what you're
No,
implying?
I'm not calling her a liar, no.
Mrs. Daniels?
No.
You liar!
No.
Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some?
I need...
Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf!
What is she doing? I never know what she's doing back there.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Hey, Mom! The meatloaf!
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We made it, buddy. We got to Friday.
Happy Friday, Mully.
They said we'd never make it. What did they know?
Big game week, big game feel. Yeah, we made it to Friday. Big weekend ahead. Not just Bears, but a lot of good college football. The World Series starts tonight. The Bulls have a couple tough challenges back-to-back. Blackhawks back at the United Center tonight. Where do you want to start?
Can I start with a little piece of a kernel of information I learned yesterday that I had not considered? And I'll just say it, and we can be done with it.
Okay.
We have to get into
it. All right, this is fun.
But the NFL trade deadline, okay, we're nearing the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Same day as the election. The presidential election.
Did you not realize that before?
I don't know why you can't move one or the other.
I think that's
They
really...
should move that election to accommodate the NFL trade deadline.
Well, I think it is interesting because you hear a lot of sports leagues and teams, as far as they will go in terms of getting political, is that they will encourage people to vote.
Yes.
To vote, and everyone should, and they circle the calendar. Like, everybody is going to be transfixed that day. So it is a bit unusual. I will agree with that. I don't know why they aren't moving the trade deadline.
It's weird. No, move the election.
No, the other way around.
What's more important?
Now you have your priorities kind of rearranged.
What if Max Crosby was traded for?
Yeah, well,
wouldn't that be more important? All right.
Make the Bears great again.
Yeah, there you go. It would be one way of doing it.
It would be.
Yeah, and you know, normally we do encourage people to vote. Aren't we encouraging some people not to vote this time?
I think we want everybody to vote. No, we want to encourage everybody to vote. Participate in the process.
I thought we were going to make an exception.
No, I don't think so.
All right.
No, I think we want to encourage people to vote, and we want to encourage the Bears to be as active during the trade deadline as possible.
And we want to encourage the Bears to play as good a game as we saw last night. Really good football game.
Yes.
We need the officiating to be a little bit better. I'll give you that.
We'll talk about that. Yeah, but I think last night was a very good
game.
Thursday night game. I said that Al Michaels would not be disappointed or complaining, and I don't think that he did.
Never once did he complain about the matchup. It was a good game.
The Rams came to play. They were ready. Your guy had that team ready to go. Sean McVay, terrific coaching job against Kevin O'Connell, his offensive coordinator during the Super Bowl season. Great matchup with two teams that were really offensively fun to watch.
Call off the trades.
Well, definitely call off the trades.
Okay.
The Rams have won two games in 5 days.
They
are effectively back in the race in the NFC West. I don't know where those Cooper Kupp rumors came from. The Matt Stafford things never made sense. Never. Never made sense. And now Puka Akua is coming back, and that's a dangerous offense.
Puka Akua looked phenomenal yesterday.
Yeah.
He's good.
Which do you think has a greater effect? Puka Akua on Cooper Kupp getting open or being that guy, or Cooper Kupp being the guy and Puka Nacua benefiting from the attention paid Cooper Kupp?
I would say it has to, and I mean, this is just based on last year when there was no Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua was setting all sorts of receiving records and having like one of the greatest seasons ever. I would have to say he gets the nod.
Okay.
And I don't mean that. I think he was aided by that, and I think his return changed their offense. But I think, and it, you know, my God, Matthew Stafford is a seriously good quarterback.
Just have respect for him.
Yeah.
He continues to do things at his age and stage of his career that really.
Hard to believe he's in his mid-80s.
He's not in his mid-80s. He's not even as old as Aaron Rodgers. Oh. He looks a lot more mobile than you give him credit for being.
He looks a lot less cancerous than Aaron Rodgers.
Definitely, no doubt about it. Who would you rather have right now? That's not even a debate.
No.
Matthew Stafford stood up last night, and he escaped the rush, he escaped the sack, and he threw a touchdown to Cooper Kupp. That was probably the most impressive play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
That offense is very good. You know what's really impressive? That Cooper Kupp, how many catches he had last night, and he scored a touchdown. He was the difference maker, and he's going to play for the Lakers tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, while shutting down. Yeah. I love that. I mean, that was our conversation.
I didn't realize that.
About Zach LaVine.
Yeah, I didn't realize that he was going to play for the Lakers tonight.
When Cooper Kupp was like, whatever, 15 or 16, he shut him out.
They whooped our ass.
In a mini basketball game. I believe Zach was about 7.
10-day contract, but, you know, it's something. He's got 10 days off.
10-day, yeah. Hey, if Bronny can play, anyone can.
Exactly. That's the idea.
I'm not making fun of Bronny, but did you see that was the highest bet individual prop of the opening of the NBA season was for Bronny to score a point?
I did not see that.
The over-under was 0.5.
Did not see that.
And everybody hammered it thinking, well, the old man will give him a layup.
He missed a layup.
Well,
he missed a putback because Rudy Gobert said, no, not tonight. Rudy Gobert.
He missed the three, too, but let's not get into that.
Missed a lot of, made a lot of people disappointed. Yeah, I did not realize that prop bet.
I couldn't believe that was the most bet prop bet.
Yeah.
Who would wager on that?
Lakers even play tonight? I think they play this weekend.
I've lost track of my
Nonetheless,
Lakers calendar.
Matthew Stafford versus Sam Darnold lived up to the hype. Sam Darnold did not have his greatest night, threw for 240 yards. Justin Jefferson made one of the most circus catches you're ever going to see. The bobble near the sidelines, he just comes down with everything one-handed.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
8 catches, 115 yards. I think the Vikings have come back to earth a little bit. I think that they have come back to the pack in the last 5 days. The Rams won twice and the Vikings lost 2 games.
May I say that I can't necessarily agree.
Okay.
Because I thought they played a great game against Detroit that could have gone either way. And they said this on the broadcast last night, that the experience of playing Detroit means you lose the next weekend, believe it or not. They are like the fourth team that has done that, and I think the Cowboys don't count because they had the bye week. But everybody that played, and I thought maybe that was a Hutchinson thing. I don't know what it is, but it is a fact that teams tend to lose the week after playing the Detroit Lions.
So nonetheless,
they played the Lions in a good game, and I thought they played well yesterday. But you're right; they have lost 2 games.
L.
Okay. So the Bears
from 5-0 to 5-2,
and the Bears can
confidence damaged
can match their record.
Yes.
With a victory at Washington.
That's the point.
Yes,
because this weekend you go into Washington, you've got an opportunity to make a statement in the division. The Vikings have lost 2 straight. Forget about the Lions for now. The Packers are kind of in your periphery, but you don't have to worry about that. I think when you saw what the Vikings were on the verge of, starting 5-0, the last 5 days have been very beneficial for the Bears.
Let's cut the tape, Brandon. At 5:39 this morning, David said Sean McVay has done another large for Jared Goff. That's what I heard.
Okay, I think he has.
He has bailed him out yet again.
He's a stud.
He is a stud. That was an impressive game plan and execution of it by the Rams offense. And you just give them credit. They look like a team that came committed to win that game. They were really into it. And I like when you see that at the NFL level, you credit the coaching, you credit the professionalism, all those things. But I think the Rams getting the receivers healthy and part of that offense again made a huge impact. They're fun to watch.
Yeah, they were really good. And, again, if you have any doubts about whether you should trade for that quarterback, he's off the market, but yes, you should.
I think we'll talk a lot about, and talk radio shows across the country this morning and today, talk about the missed face mask call, which was egregious.
Ridiculous.
It did not really change the outcome and would not have changed the outcome of the game.
I don't know. What was the over-under? What was I'm just saying, he grabbed the guy's face mask and got a safety.
Yeah.
So you tell me.
Made it 28-20 to 30-20. And then 20. That whatever that did to the point spread, whatever it did to a lot of Vegas gamblers. Yeah, ended the drive. And it put the game out of reach. But I don't even know, had you called that, do you really think that the Vikings were going to go down the field, score a touchdown, and then get the two-point conversion?
I never felt that way. But, you know, as you mentioned, they've got a receiver there that can do extraordinary things. You could throw the ball up into a group of 17 men. I don't know why there'd be that many there.
And he would come down with it. Yeah. Or he would get a flag.
Or he would pop it up in the air.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But I think that also if it leads to change so that calls like that can be reviewed and misses that egregious can be reversed, then it will be a worthwhile sacrifice for the Vikings. Because they weren't going to win that game, I don't believe, but it did bring attention to the fact that sometimes officials, too often actually officials, miss calls.
Yeah, and it's in this day and age with instant replay and all the rest of it.
Should not happen.
It's hard to believe that happens. And I don't know. Are you not allowed to – can New York not like, hey, you guys,
Hey, guys, you don't want to look make our game look this bad right now and in front of a national television audience. You don't want Herb Street and Al Michaels ripping you in the booth because they had every right to. It was really, really bad. It was a bad miss. Darnold was grabbed by the face mask, and it should have been a penalty instead of a safety. And the safety should have been negated.
Yeah, we'll learn more. We'll find out more moving forward, but you're absolutely right. Bears.
One more back.
Sorry.
One more Thursday night thing?
Please. Oh, Pittsburgh.
Oh, my gosh.
Dave Wannstedt. His alma mater.
Wanny had to be like, toasting somebody watching that game, probably Tony Wise. Tony, you see this? Three pick sixes.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Three pick sixes. Poor Kyle McCord, the Syracuse quarterback, threw three pick sixes.
I went to turn that one on. I was running around. I got in front of the TV. It was already over. It was like 24-0. I was going to take a look at that game before I got to Prime because once I get to an app, I can't ever go back.
I know. That's hard.
It's problematic.
Yeah, I know.
But it was okay. I mean, I watched a really good
film. You're trying antenna, or is that a different story?
That's different. Okay, no, you're confusing.
Okay.
There's a lot of things.
Actually, there's a new antenna on the market. If you go get an antenna, the Bulls will actually play defense tonight.
Oh, really?
Weekend. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's an advance in technology.
Right. And there's a special Blackhawk antenna. Bedard's actually going to score a goal.
Does it give like a little bit of a sort of electric shock to the players if they don't defend? How would that work?
Okay. We digress.
Wow.
Kyle McCord threw four interceptions in the first half.
Yeah, that was
three of them. Boom, touchdowns.
And I don't follow Syracuse football much.
Me neither.
But I do know a lot about what's going on with Pitt because we've talked to Dave about it quite a bit in the breaks. And
excellent season.
Yeah, they're having a hell of a year.
They're in the midst of a special year.
They're bowl eligible, but they're 7-0 now, right?
Yep. And they are looking at that schedule and wondering how quickly do you get to 10? Who on there can't you beat?
Are they a playoff team?
Are they
Mr.
a playoff
David?
Team? That's the reality, and that's why
they were 19.
It's relevant.
As an unbeaten 19 going into
when you're unbeaten
game?
And you're 19, it says we don't respect you.
That's exactly what it says.
So they've got an opportunity, number one, to improve on that, and secondly, to use that to their advantage. They're college kids being disrespected. They're playing with an edge.
Yeah, and they got a good quarterback.
They have an excellent quarterback.
A lot to like about that team. Okay, back. So wait.
Bears.
Did we miss any Bulls game or Hawks game or anything?
No, there was nothing last night.
Nothing happened.
Nothing last night. Tonight, the Hawks back home against the Predators. And then the weekend, the Bulls are back in Milwaukee against the Bucks. Back-to-backs.
Well, aren't the Bulls to playing tonight in
against
Milwaukee.
Yeah, and then tomorrow night is at
home without a certain member of the team.
Lonzo Ball was
game manager.
He's going to skip tonight. You can't play both back-to-back games. So I think they wisely chose the home opener to use him this weekend. If you had to choose one, you want to choose the home opener. Give those fans something to see, and also give Lonzo Ball that moment on the home floor. That'd be cool.
And we should let you know, fans, that the Bulls and Blackhawks have a new TV home. It's the Chicago Sports Network. Tonight, the Bulls take on the Milwaukee Bucks at 7 p.m. Tomorrow night, the Bulls home opener, it's on CHSN at 7 p.m. The Blackhawks take on the Dallas Stars on CHSN, plus at 7 as well. And catch all the action on the Chicago Sports Network.
Man, there's a lot going on this
weekend. CHSN
Plus. CHSN Plus for...
Yeah. So it's seven, yeah. For me,
the
it's Hawks 1741 game. And 1742.
There you go. And
that's the same for Dustin.
I'm glad you guys got that all worked out. And everyone else has an antenna or various ways to get it.
We have linked it all up.
Yeah, I'm so happy because you guys can share that and also you guys can get that.
Oh, it's... you say that because you used to... You used to make fun of us when we couldn't get the NFL Network.
I did.
And
I did
now that we have often. Should we tell them we don't get the NHL Network, Dustin, or will we keep that quiet? That's just amongst ourselves.
Do you guys? Okay. How do you realize you don't have the NHL Network? You guys would never ever stumble upon the NHL Network.
No, when you turn on the NHL Network and it doesn't come on, that's how you know.
Okay.
There are various moments where I might have wanted to watch something.
Really?
Yeah, especially like. You know, I think I went through to see when they were doing a Blackhawks season preview, and that's how I found out I didn't get.
You know who was on there the other day?
Who was?
Our guy Eddie O.
He
was doing being interviewed, then he was doing a podcast. Eddie O.
Hey, the Breeders' Cup is right around the corner, Dustin. Call Eddie. We should get him on.
Let's get him on. I got to get those picks.
You know, you act like you don't want to gamble, but I know for a fact that you've been to the OTB and laid down some
I have done that. Very smoothly, if I might add. Very smoothly, like a pro. I didn't have to call anybody for directions or anything.
Oh, man.
All right, back to the Bears. Big weekend.
I
want to talk Bears because Jaden Daniels did not practice.
Again!
And... I want to know if what Baldy said has some credence. Like, how would you feel as a Bears fan? How do you think it look? If you're a rookie quarterback. You don't practice all week. If he doesn't go today, can he still theoretically play Sunday effectively?
Theoretically, he can play, but if he doesn't go today, I don't think he plays. If he goes limited today, I would also wonder if he plays.
It sounds like he's going to try to go limited today. It seems like the Adam Schefter report indicated they're going to see what they've got and where he is.
Yeah, I wonder about that. So we'll see.
You think that's part of gamesmanship to throw it out there that he's going to practice just to give the Bears something to think about?
Well, I think that, the Bears will have something to think about if the kid plays. If he doesn't play, again, I don't think this is as big a deal because of the way Mariota plays, because of the way they didn't change anything about their scheme when he came in. You know, normally when you have kind of we've talked about quarterbacks before where the idea is if you have like you want your backup to sort of be able to step into the offense that the
stylistically
runs.
Similar.
Very much
yes.
So. And then when you get to your third quarterback, you need a guy who can run a little bit and protect himself. Now, in this case, both those guys can run a little bit. But you figure if you lost two quarterbacks, that's usually an indication that your line can't block. So the third guy up better be able to just get the heck out of trouble. And you want somebody at that point that can be their own player, be their own man, and run like hell.
I think that's a good way to put it. I don't think the Bears should fall into any false sense of security if Jaden Daniels doesn't play because they should respect Marcus Mariota. I think this defense will.
I think they will too.
I think this defense, we heard from Eric Washington yesterday, very serious guy.
I like
very
him.
Serious football
I
coach.
Like
I like
him.
I like every time he talks because you feel like, okay, he's in charge.
Not only that.
This dude's
like,
in charge.
It's like, this is a very important moment.
Yes.
Like every time, every game, this is like really the game of the century.
Exactly. And when he talks about reevaluating the defense's values, he's not like, we need to rush the passer better. We need to tackle better.
No.
We're going to reevaluate our value system. I'm like, okay.
Well, I mean, and that, what does that mean? Like, we're not going to lie, and we're going to make sure
it means
that
this dude takes football seriously.
Older ladies across the street.
And the defense is in very good hands.
Kindler, gentler. No.
We're going to say please and thank you.
It means we're going to crush the hell out of
and then we're going to make you hurt.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Can you please get up after we just knocked you into next week?
Yeah.
So I think the defense will be in good hands. But Jaden Daniels' status has been the source of conversation all week.
Yes.
And there are some people that believe or would prefer him to play, so we have one versus two. And not just Tony Romo. But I think that if you don't get the matchup that everyone's been talking about, you should feel fortunate, Bears fans. Because the Commanders are compromised without a guy who's been an MVP candidate. That's good.
He's been able to take mental reps. He's been in the meeting room. He knows what the game plan is. But it's good that he hasn't been able to practice,
no
too.
Doubt.
If he ends up playing and he hasn't had any practice, that's a good thing.
Maybe Nick Allegretti will tell us at 9:25 whether or not he's practicing or not.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he will, but that's interesting.
Or he can tell us who he wants the White Sox to hire as their next manager because he's a big Sox fan.
And there is information about
new
managerial
candidate. Oh, yeah. Our guy, John Heyman.
Yes.
John Heyman, MLB Network, and the New York Post reports that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Leading White Sox managerial candidates have come into view. What do you think about the guys that are mentioned?
I like it. Rangers bench coach Will Venable is apparently right up front and center. Will Venable declined an opportunity to interview for the Mets.
Last year.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So he wanted to hold off so he could get
the Sox. Holding off for the Sox job?
I don't know.
Maybe
he did.
Maybe he
watched what happened with the Mets and he thought, why wasn't I?
If that's true, I would not hire him.
Okay. Well,
because his judgment's already been impaired.
The former Angels manager, Phil Nevin. You know Phil.
Yeah, a temporary manager. Wasn't he an interim deal?
He had a gig.
And Tigers bench coach, George Lombard.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those are the three front runners.
Does he live in your nape of the neck there, Dustino?
No. Oh. Not George from Lombard.
Oh, I
just George Lombard.
We have a caller, George.
George from
Lombard.
Lombard's gonna hang up and listen for his answer. George Lombard is a candidate to manage the White Sox. And then Venable, Cub fans should remember, he was on the staff from 2018 to 2020. And Phil Nevin, I think, worked with Joe Maddon out in Anaheim. Maybe we get Joe on the show. That would be fun. Would he get up?
Oh, he's up now already.
Riding his bike?
Yeah, Joe's probably up reading the Bible.
Why would he be reading the Bible?
Because he likes to break bread and water and wine.
No.
It's about 3:30 in the morning out there.
I don't think that's accurate. I don't think that's true.
Joe couldn't get up when he was here. How's he going to get up 2 hours earlier?
He's got a lot more time on his hands. He's more well-rested. He's riding his bike, doing podcasts. I'd like to talk to Joe about Phil Nevin if they hire him or if they get down to the point where he's a finalist.
Okay.
Reports that Venable is a guy that Chris Getz always has liked. So maybe he's got the front.
He also
status.
Reported that they had considered or they've thought about Buck Showalter too, but he's apparently it's uncertain if he'd take the job.
Makes me curious where those reports are coming from and who's at the source of them. Buck Showalter would not take the White Sox job? White Sox would not be able to lure Buck Showalter out of retirement.
I'll read the exact sentence. They've considered Buck Showalter too. He's known as being a turnaround artist, but it's uncertain if he'd go.
Turnaround artist. Does that mean he sketches with his back to the easel?
I told you. I was in. I went to the Boston Museum of Fine Arts, and there were a bunch of people.
Ooh.
And I turned them in. I'm like, they're copying. That guy's looking. I saw him.
Last week, and you went to the fine arts in Boston, the museums.
I did.
You did the museum tours. What do you have on tap this weekend, Mr.
Oh, yeah.
Culture?
No. No,
museum tours.
I thought I would like try to contact
English major reunion.
I don't know if he's still in prison or not, but I thought I might try to contact Michael Jackson's doctor and see if I could get a good night's sleep.
Well, that's Friday
for the first time this week.
You know, the Fridays are the night to get the night's sleep.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah,
I need about 42 hours or so.
That'll do. Well. Just as long as you wake up by Monday morning.
It's hard to travel on the weekend, come home, and then, you know, do this show. Because, you know, sometimes when you're traveling on the weekend, next thing you know, you're in the club. Next thing you know, you're on the Madden schedule.
Next thing you know.
You're up early riding your bike.
Yeah, just keep going.
No. Okay. All right, listen, we've got to get to the pick six. We're going to break down all the stories of the weekend, all the day. And we'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
With Jaden Daniels missing his second straight practice with that rib injury on Thursday, Marcus Mariota once again taking all the reps at practice in his place. Where is your confidence? The Commanders are going to hold up their end of the rookie quarterback showdown. With a full participation by Daniels today, do the trick? Does limited practice give him a shot? Do you believe he'll be scratched later today?
Yeah, I think if he doesn't practice, he'll be scratched, but word is he's going to give it a go. I mean, here's the reality of life in the NFL. You do everything you can do to play every game. And I think that that's a valuable lesson for everyone to learn, including rookies. And it would not surprise me if Jaden Daniel plays, even if he is somewhat compromised. And I know that no one wants to hear that and no one believes that's the correct way to go about it, but it is kind of the lesson you learn in the NFL that, you know, it's more important to play than anything else. And it's more valuable to teams to have players that can participate than anything else. And whenever we talk about contracts, extensions, etc., you go back to availability being the greatest ability. And, well, you know, the guy did miss four games, or, you know, he's missed seven
games.
Not
the NBA.
Yeah, there's not load management considerations in the NFL. There's just too few games, and each one takes on more importance. And I get it. They've got three division games coming up soon thereafter, and the way the coach talked about it made it sound like maybe they wouldn't go with him. I think he's either scratched today or he plays today. And I mean plays on Sunday. I think that if they deem that he can't protect himself or there's a problem, then he's not going to play. And, you know, they will make the hurt go away. I don't know how well he'll play, but I think he probably will play.
I think this thing will go all the way down to a game time decision. I don't even know if we'll know at noon. I think they're going to stretch this out and say he went through. Today he will be limited. He will be out there. He will be limited. And then they will say, we'll have to see. He'll go through the pregame warm-up, see how much he can tolerate the pain once they shoot him up with the Toradol.
You play if you can in the NFL. There's only 17 chances to make an impact on a season. And somebody who has been an early season MVP candidate, he's not been better than Jared Goff. He's not been better than Lamar Jackson, maybe not even Joe Burrow. But he's been a top five quarterback in the league. That is special. So I think that they will try to see if he can play. But I also think that somebody has got to get to Dan Quinn, or somebody in that organization has to have this conversation if he does not practice today. And it's, everything is qualified here, conditional, right? So if he does not practice today, I have to believe that they're going to take the long view here. This is a team with playoff aspirations, and this one game might be worth resting Jaden Daniels for the best thing for the Washington Commanders, so he's intact for the remainder of the season, rather than have him come back, shoot him up, and then compromise his health today and maybe get exposed to another type of hit or injury because he's playing at less than 100%. I just wonder if cooler heads will prevail or they'll err on the side of caution, all the things that you could say. It would make sense to me for them to do that. And if I were a member of an organization with a franchise quarterback coming into a game like this as a rookie, I might recommend that. I still will be surprised if he plays. I think I'll either way, it'll be an opportunity for the Bears. It's a better opportunity if he doesn't play. But I think that he's, to me right now, sitting here this morning, I'll be surprised if he does.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs, 7 a.m. Biggs time. Get the official pick, which of Sunday's OCs has had a bigger impact in Caleb Williams' career, Shane Waldron or Cliff Kingsbury?
So this is an interesting question. It came to mind yesterday when we were listening to Cliff Kingsbury, as I was listening to Cliff Kingsbury talk about Caleb Williams and talk about his interview with the Bears. We'll get to that later.
That's a good one.
That was an abrupt turn. And I wondered if we have made way too much of the Cliff Kingsbury impact or connection to, or the way that Cliff Kingsbury and Caleb Williams are aligned in our minds. He was there for a season, right? He was there in USC for a year, and Caleb Williams was a quarterback, and Cliff Kingsbury was the offensive assistant. And I think that it bears remembering that Lincoln Riley was the coach that Caleb Williams followed from Norman, Oklahoma to Los Angeles, from Oklahoma to USC. Lincoln Riley is the guy that has been instrumental and an influential figure in Caleb Williams' upbringing, development, and all those things. I'm not sure where Cliff Kingsbury fits. They've been very cordial to each other. They do connect and communicate and all those things, but I do wonder if we've overstated that a tad this week, or it has been overstated. So I think of Shane Waldron, your rookie quarterback and his first offensive coordinator. Shane Waldron's had a bigger impact on Caleb Williams' development this season, during so far in his professional career, than a guy who we spent last season with on the same staff at USC.
I'll agree with you that it's Shane Waldron, but I don't think we've even made nearly enough about the Cliff Kingsbury not getting the job and interviewing for the job. And we heard earlier in the week the head coach of the Bears, we just talk ball. We just talk ball. We didn't really get into the quarterback. We just talk ball. The you-know-what meter went up on that one. They couldn't have just talked ball. But yes, at this point, Shane Waldron's had a bigger impact on his NFL career. NFL is the key word at this point.
Yeah, of course he has. He's had a much larger influence on his career because he's the first professional offensive coordinator he's played for. And you're right, he was a quarterback's coach. Kingsbury was sort of a guy that was there kind of killing a year before he got back in the league. As far as him and the Bears, I think that it's a really difficult one to sort of figure out. There are some guys that can knock it out of the park in interviews, and there are some guys that don't. There are some people that you get this feeling for immediately, and it's exactly what you were hoping a guy would say. And then there's some people that you might have really liked, but for whatever reason, it doesn't happen. You know, I go back to Ron Rivera interviewed for a bunch of jobs, and you would talk to people, and they'd be like, nah, you know, he wasn't great on the board, or he didn't do. There are always reasons where somebody doesn't connect with people. So, I mean, if you interview for a job and you don't get it, I think if you knew right away that you weren't going to get it, you'd be like, yeah, okay. But if you interview for a job and you didn't feel it and you're not surprised you didn't get it, then maybe you don't have that big a grudge about it. I don't know. I don't know how people interview, and I think it's a difficult thing to sort of pick apart.
I know what you're saying, but the fact that he was an NFL head coach before suggests that he knows how to interview well, but it seems pretty clear that this one did not go well.
And it makes me wonder if there was an element of the fact that he was an NFL head coach before worked against him.
Because you don't want to hire your replacement.
That's part of the whole
thing. And maybe
process.
He knew that going in, or maybe he was unprepared for the meeting.
Who knows?
A lot of things.
That's
could
what
factor
I'm saying.
In,
there's all sorts of stuff that happens with these job meetings. But I give you that it is very interesting because of the success that he has had and because of the relationship he did have. And we'll hear all that audio as we move forward.
Yes. Hey, well, here's another question.
Voice of Mark Grody, 8:25 is Grody time. Where is your confidence on the Bears injury front? Do you believe Jaquan Brisker, Kyler Gordon will be out? What about Tyreek Stevenson, limited for a second straight day? How about the defensive tackle Zach Pickens, quarterback Terrell Smith, full go, and long snapper Scott Daly also a full go yet again?
Yes, I feel like Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon will be out. I don't feel like they're going to play. And I think that the problem I have, and the reason I say that, is Jaquan Brisker hasn't played in, what, 3 weeks? Because he did not play, had a week off, and hasn't played yet this week. That's a long period of time. It was like a Monday where he came in. It's probably longer than 3 weeks, to be honest with you. It was the Monday he felt something after the game in which he was injured, you know. And that's a concussion, and there are more things involved in him returning. I think when we heard from Flusi say there's a couple of things he had to get past, I didn't feel like it was a really good thought. Now, who knows? Maybe they clear him today. Maybe he's ready to go, and maybe he can come back and play, and that would be fantastic. I think Gordon's out. I think you got a hamstring, and you're not even able to practice at all. I think hamstrings take longer, and I not longer than concussions, but longer than 1 week, I should say. So I think he probably will be out. And I like the fact that all these other people are giving it a go. I think Terrell Smith will help. I think he's a good player. And I'm curious to see if Zach Pickens can play or not. And it's good you got your long snap.
Yeah, I don't think there's any shot that Brisker's out there. Zero. And that does concern me. It might even affect my pick coming up in a few minutes. Kyler Gordon,
That's a tease.
Maybe Kyler Gordon. Tyreek Stevenson, that's good news. That's probably the best news of the news that he did 2 days in a row limited. That means he's on the path.
What about the long snapper?
Fantastic.
You don't have to go to Cole Kmet this week.
No, but they brought in a former Pro Bowler just in case, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they weren't going back to Cole Kmet.
I think Brisker, that's a long shot. I can't see that happening, because even if he were to wake up today and pass all the necessary protocols, it's been a long time and you might want to take another week. Maybe Gordon goes. You know, hamstrings are funny. Everyone's are different. He's got very finely tuned muscles, so you just don't know. Somebody with his athleticism and build, they will miss him if he does not play. They have capable backups. We can talk about the depth. We can congratulate John Hoke, the secondary coach, and all those things remain true. But Kyler Gordon might be the most indispensable player in a very good secondary just because of the variety of ways that he's used. Zach Pickens is like getting a defensive lineman at the trade deadline. He's a guy that has not helped you yet, and he's a guy that you drafted to help you in the middle. And so if he could come back, that would be definitely good news. You figure he'll play a role, and Terrell Smith is somebody that you think will take the place of Kyler Gordon, or in a variety of different ways. He just helps by being healthy. So the Bears' injury front could be worse, could be much worse. You don't want to go into a game without Jaquan Brisker, but you know what? Unfortunately, you've done it before, and your defense still can be a very good, if not dominant, defense without him. I would not change my pick because Jaquan Brisker isn't going to play, but I think everyone in this room reserves the right to do so, even if they want to be short-sighted.
Those are the unanswerable questions.
Disappointed in you, David. That was the voice of Casey Johnson. He'll be here at 8 to talk Bulls basketball, which you will hear at 6:45 on The Score. Any surprise the Bulls are holding Lonzo Ball out in Milwaukee tonight for injury management? Ball will not play in back-to-back games, therefore will play 16 minutes or so in the home opener versus the Thunder on Saturday, also here on The Score. Do you give the Bulls much of a hope in either of those contests?
This is the right call. You want him to come out for the first time at the United Center and it be a moment. And if he were to play tonight in Milwaukee, that would be impossible. So are you manufacturing some drama? Absolutely. But you also it's a reality you're facing with Lonzo Ball. Just be happy he's in the mix because of the way that he does make an impact when he is on the floor. He changes everything about the offense. He settles things down. He sees things happening before they do. He processes the information quickly. I love the way Kendall Gill described it. Lonzo Ball, in the NFL context, throws guys open. And he certainly can throw it to a point where Zach LaVine can throw it down on an alley-oop dunk. So I am glad they're doing that tomorrow night. I don't think it's going to matter. I don't see the Bulls winning this weekend, and I think that's going to be tough. I love the optimism that Kendall had yesterday in talking to him about having to throw out the opener against New Orleans and the 21 turnovers and 30 points. That was ugly and sloppy and messy. So maybe they'll be cleaner tonight. Maybe they'll be better tomorrow, but I don't think you're going to beat either team. Talking about a Bucks team and a Thunder team that are trendy favorites in the respective conferences, maybe to win the conference. Tough challenge for the Bulls.
Zero surprise, and I'm not changing my pick. The Bulls are not going to win a game in October. They won't win tonight. They are a 10-point underdog. 10-point underdog, according to our fine people at Circus Sports Illinois. 10. This is a bad team. I saw the Thunder, who they play on Saturday, just absolutely crush the Nuggets to start the season. So that's another bad matchup. This is I can't just throw that game out. You just can't. They had a preseason, and they were not engaged. You heard their TV analyst say, well, come on, give me the hot sauce. Yeah. Do something.
Right.
They just were not engaged. So, no, the Lonzo Ball's not going. I'm glad the Bulls are giving the home fans the Lonzo Ball treatment, not the Milwaukee Buck fans the Lonzo Ball treatment.
Yeah, I think it's the right move. I think we talked about it, and we figured that was the move they would make. I think he's better off playing at home and maybe better as a result, and he will get a great treatment from the fans at home. I don't think they win either game. I'm kind of with you, Dustin. I thought that a lot of the problems with the team were fairly evident to me in the first game, and I just don't see what's going to change, even if, you know, a certain star player were to go off for a longer period of time. I don't know that that's going to impact or change the game, whether Zach can score 40 or 50 points. I just don't think it's going to matter. I think that the Bucks are a better, more talented team. They have better frontline players. The Bulls, you know, we sit here, we talk about losing to New Orleans. New Orleans was without one of their better players, and it made no impact. They still managed to win fairly handily. So I don't like the Bulls at the Bucks. Haven't seen enough good results to make me want to pick that game, and I think OKC is a seriously good team, and I'm just going to be really curious. That's a game I want to see more than I want to see tonight's, because I want to see how Josh Giddey, if his confidence is back, if he wants to prove something. I think it'll be a telling game to kind of where he's at in his career, based on the fact that this team dumped him when they thought they were on the verge of a championship. So that's an insult, man. Let's see what he can do. I'm very curious.
Oh, my God. What a question.
That's the voice of Joe Fortenbaugh, 740 with Mully and Haw. Get the pen and paper out. How many future Hall of Famers are competing in this year's World Series between the Dodgers and the Yankees?
You know, I want to say 8, but it's probably closer to 4. I think you feel certain about 4. I think there might be a pitcher thrown in. And I just got to say that it's never as many as you imagine. There are some, you know, Hall of very good players, and I'll go, for the sake of this conversation, I'll go with 6. And do I have to name them? Because
I'd love to know. I think the 4 are really obvious, right?
Yeah, the 4 are obvious. Mookie and Ohtani and Judge and Soto.
Right, there's your 4. No doubt about it. Right?
Without
David's
question.
David's already put him on his ballot.
Where are you? I mean, where are you with the pitchers in this? I think there's going to be one. Is it Gerrit Cole? Is Kershaw doesn't count, right?
Does he doesn't count.
He's got to count, though, right?
No, he's not on the
team. This is a World Series, though.
He's not on the team. I mean, he obviously counts, but
now you got to change your answer.
Change my answer.
Yeah. No, I don't think
he here's the thing. If you think the Yankees are going to win the World Series, that means Gerrit Cole probably wins two games. Now, that helps his... That helps his credentials.
They got through, and he lost two games. Right. He's only won one of his last three.
If they win
starts.
With Gerrit Cole, it's be his second time he's done
in.
That.
Yeah, then he's in. But right now, he's not in
that's
my
what,
opinion.
That's
right.
What my
I'm with
is.
Mully for Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole's the next guy. It could be five if the Yankees win. But
And it could be six if like Stanton wins an MVP and hits seven home runs.
See, that's the thing.
But right now, there's four, and that's it.
That's
four for sure.
Five would be some pitcher.
I'm going with... The cold reality is Gerrit's going in if he wins this series.
I would agree.
That is Gerrit Cole, number one. Judge.
If he wins in this series.
Soto. Stanton. Stanton is Mr. October.
Maybe.
He's the closest thing we have to Mr. October right now. So that's on the Yankees. You guys aren't giving me Kershaw?
No.
No. How would we
do that? Well, he's on the roster.
The question says, competing.
Okay.
Competing.
Ohtani, Betts, Freddie Freeman.
Freddie Freeman?
They just put in
good.
Todd Helton.
He might not play.
They just put in Todd Helton. Freddie Freeman's going to the Hall of Fame, I think. He's
they
on
needed,
that.
They needed to enshrine somebody?
He's
so
on,
Todd Helton
hey, who, if you were taking an MVP, which MVP would you take?
Which MVP would I take?
I think Ohtani is the
Ohtani is the best player in Major League history.
Judge has been not as good as Judge.
Yeah.
But this is the first time. This is the first time ever 250 home run hitters are facing off in the World Series.
You know what the record for most Hall of Famers in a World Series is? Did you see that?
No.
13. 1932 battle between the Yankees and wait for it. Your Chicago Cubs.
In recent memory, though, one of the Braves World Series teams, there's like six or seven on
not
that
13.
Team. Not 13.
Not 13.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
All right, so this ties into our last question. What is your prediction for the World Series? Who will be the MVP? And how about an unsung hero?
Okay, I will go all of these things. Yankees in six.
Wow.
MVP Juan Soto. Unsung hero. Got to think about this one now. I think that you could look at their bullpen, but you don't really have enough, I think, evidence of guys in the bullpen that could definitely come through for the Yankees. I would say that Austin Wells, that'll be my unsung hero. Catcher for the Yankees, a guy that is going to be in the middle of a lot, maybe comes up with a clutch here, hit here or there. I thought about the shortstop, but I'll go Yankees. And if it is the Dodgers, if the Dodgers somehow find a way to win, their unsung hero will be somebody that we have seen in Chicago a lot, and I just said his name facetiously as a Hall of Fame candidate. It will be Michael Kopech.
Get out.
Well, I guess Mully's going to be doing the show by himself in a minute because you just stole my thunder.
Get out.
Dustin. I'm getting ejected.
You go with him. The two of you, get out.
We got Mongo over here ejecting people.
I mean, maybe I should just leave. Is that it?
No. I don't want any of us to leave. It's a football Friday. All right. What is your prediction? So, you ever hear of the X Cub Factor, the playoffs?
Oh, yes.
How about X Cub Factor? Does that play a role in your pick? Dodgers, zero X Cubs. Zero. Yankees, arguably, based on how you're playing the Kershaw game,
okay.
Six.
Give them to me.
Six, DJ LeMahieu, Scott Efros, Gleyber Torres, Stroman, Leiter Jr., and, of course, Rizzo.
Oh, I love that. Six, okay? You're right.
So, you see the research I did for this question?
I love that.
Okay, Dodgers in six, Mookie Betts, Hall of Famer, MVP, and unsung hero.
You're taking the Dodgers in six. That's interesting.
Because, Dodgers and six.
Because of the
X-Cub
factor.
And also the Fernando Mania. Yeah.
I have a thought of the X-Cub factor after your prediction.
No, please. Go right ahead.
You're going to ignore the presence of Mark Pryor, the biggest symbol of being jinxed that you could find as far as ex-Cubs.
That's a good point, David.
He's the pitching coach.
It's a little different.
But he's a reminder of how bad things can go in October.
I'm trying to forget, obviously, in my answer. Saying. Thanks, David.
You know, I've gone back and forth on this, and I think that the easiest thing to do would be to say the Dodgers are going to win and that Ohtani clearly would be the MVP, because if they win, he'd be the MVP. But I think it's going to be the Yankees. I think it's going to be Juan Soto as the MVP. And as far as the unheralded, unsung hero, I'm going to go with Carlos Rodon, because I believe that he could be an MVP. Out of all the pitchers in this thing, I think Carlos could win two games. Cole's not pitching very well, if you look at what he's just been through. And I think Carlos, because he has the ability to strike people out, he could shorten games. He could pitch longer. He could have a couple of 7-inning outings and win a couple games. And that's my unsung hero. But I will go with the Yankees, and I'll go with the soon to be free agent, soon to move across the New York area, Mr. Juan.
He stayed with the Yankees. He's staying with the Yankees. You think he's going to the Mets?
Juan Soto.
I think I should change my pick from Soto to Stanton now, so we don't have the same. But
I already had my picks made. I wasn't copying you. I'm not some guy going to an art museum and copying things.
I know you're not a plagiarist.
I'm an original.
I know you're not a plagiarist. I now want to say Stanton, but both those guys are going to have good series, because if the Yankees win, it means their big three are performing and rising to the occasion. Not because they have more ex-Cubs. Has nothing to do with that. That's dead.
We've got the extra point next, and it has a little something to do with prediction again. We're going to pick more World Series. We're going to pick the audience for the... No, we're going to pick something else. It's Smully and Haw on the Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Are you on board with the Bears winning at Washington on Sunday, coming off their bye week? What storyline will we be discussing come Monday morning? Can you please supply a score as well?
Yes, I do think the Bears will take care of business and make good use of the bye week, where they are rested physically, mentally, and recharged and ready to begin or continue their ascent. On Monday morning, we will be talking about a Bears team that took advantage of the opportunity in Washington, D.C. Defense travels well. So does the running game. Maybe they lean into both. Caleb Williams returns home. We'll be talking about how he took advantage of that and pushed the ball down the field. I think the secret to their slow starts could be being more aggressive in the first quarter. They seem very tentative. They seem very conservative. And they have too many three and outs. They've only scored 10 points in the first quarter this year. That's terrible. So the best unit on the field on Sunday will be the Bears' defense. The second best unit could be the Commanders' offensive line. That's going to be a good matchup. I think the Commanders will run the football, move the chains. It'll be a close game, but I think the Bears will have some sort of takeaway that makes an impact. A short field will result in a red zone touchdown, and it will be Bears 27, Commanders 23.
27-23. Okay, I've got the Bears winning 24-20. I believe that Bears defense can keep that streak of keeping teams right around 20 points or less. And I think what we're going to come in here talking about on Monday is Caleb Williams showing the nation why he was the right pick at number one and why Jaden Daniels was not.
Like it.
Yeah. Okay, I also am taking a 24-20 score, so we have that in common. But I am going to go with the Washington Commanders in this game. I think that the Bears are bad on the road under their head coach, Matt Eberflus, and there are a couple of things I don't like about the game, not the least of which is if Jaden Daniels plays. If Daniels doesn't play, I might rescind this. And I am perfect thus far this season, so I should be allowed to.
At rescinding?
Rescind it. And I may change my mind anyway by Sunday, monitor the pregame show. But I think at this point, especially given the two of you, taking the Bears. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go 24-20. I'm going to take Washington at home. I think they've been probably better than we have talked about or that we understand. And I think that that it's just going to be one of these games where we come in here on Monday and we talk about we're back to sort of this, you know, Bears had this perfect chance to equal the record of the Vikings and now they're chasing things again and we're back into a little bit of a panic mode. It's hard to win four games in a row and the Bears have won three in a row, but who have they beaten? And they're stepping up in class a little bit and they're doing so on the road. I just don't like the Bears on the road. I was really wondering if I might have gone against them in London if it hadn't been a neutral site. I just worry. What are they, 3-16 in their last 19 road games, something like that? I just worry about that element. And I have no problem with Caleb Williams. I wish that I felt better about their run game and their run defense.
Did you say you picked them because we picked the Bears?
No.
Did I hear that part of it?
If I did, that only aids my pick.
He did say that.
Okay, because you go opposite what we
picked?
I always go opposite
your picks.
I just wondered if I heard that correctly. So essentially, hear what I have to say opposite.
Yeah. Well, I'm have the advantage of going third, and then rather than jumping on the bandwagon with everyone,
I think it's fascinating that had you gone
never
first,
trust the public,
you would have picked the Bears.
I may have.
I'd love it that you
I don't really make my pick.
You reserve the right to rescind, though.
Until I listen to what people say about it, and then I think, I go any other way.
That's
I'm very happy with that pick.
You know, it's going to be a close game, I think, and that both teams are very
similar. It's
going similar.
To be closer than you think.
Yes.
And I think being on the road harms the Bears, frankly. I just think that they're a weird team that way.
What's cool about this matchup, though, is besides the 1-2 and, you know, Caleb versus Jaden, if that happens, first time that two very proud franchises have played against each other with winning records at the same time since 1991.
And the reason for that is exactly the reason we want to watch the game is for the quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember back in the day, I mean, long time ago, when Brett Favre was the quarterback in Green Bay, they used to put out the media guide would have a list of quarterbacks who played for different teams during the Favre Iron Man streak. And the number one team was always Washington, followed by the Bears.
Yep.
They went through hundreds of quarterbacks low those many years. There were many funny things about that era in Green Bay, the way that they put together their media guide. They would include all the birthdays of all the kids of the players, and oftentimes they would have, like, you know, two kids born in the same year. It was like a very funny thing that they would include. They weren't twins. So that what does that tell you? But we used to joke about that in the meeting room, and then we would sit there and read the quarterback list, and we would go through all the Bears quarterbacks. Everybody would come up with different comments about each player. It's pretty incredible how many quarterbacks the Bears were going through.
Yep.
3-4 quarterbacks a year in those days, as were the Commanders. So they're two proud franchises now have proud quarterbacks. Pretty good stuff. All right, we've got the extra point next. We have a special little something planned for you. We're going to get
just
back
a question
to
asking in light of our World Series conversation.
Well worth discussing. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
One ball, one strike. Rizzo, a liner. That is a fair ball. Hits the sidewall. Volpe off to the races. He'll be held at third. And now the ball's bobbled, and Volpe's going to score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. That is a big moment for Anthony Rizzo. He hit a double there that was a big one. And so we talked about who could be the MVP, who could be the Hall of Famer.
How many future Hall of Famers are on both teams in this World Series?
Well, let me tell you something. If Anthony Rizzo were an MVP, if he were to win the MVP of this somehow,
okay,
like run into a couple of homers, whatever it might
yes.
take, then maybe that would help him get over the top. But at age 35, I don't think he has had enough of a career to make the Hall of Fame.
By over the top, do you mean Hall of Fame consideration?
I'm saying if he were the MVP of a World Series,
yeah,
if they're winning one, if they're being a slump buster with the Cubs.
Be a very, very good
career. You could help career. An argument, right?
It'd be a very, very good career. He'd be in the Hall of Very, Very Good.
Yeah, he's not a
Hall. I don't think that he is Cooperstown bound. That doesn't take anything away from his career. He's had 303 homers. You can do the math and the rest of the statistics and how they compare and contrast. I think Freddie Freeman is probably a more viable candidate. Anthony Rizzo, if he can say in his career he won a World Series with the Cubs and the Yankees, what a claim to fame that would be. But I just don't see that being realistic to say he's going to go in the Baseball Hall of Fame. The only Hall of Fame he'll go into would be the Cubs Hall of Fame. He's also already a member of the Portland Sea Dogs Hall of Fame.
Is he really?
So, yes, he is.
Wow.
I don't think he's going to Cooperstown.
Can I make one other point? I don't think he's going to Cooperstown,
Dustin,
either. Well, Dustin knows he's not going to Cooperstown.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I'm also not sure I want to see Anthony Rizzo win a World Series with another team. I want that. I was talking to a guy yesterday about this, and you want that memory to be Rizzo, you know, running towards the pitcher's mound to celebrate with the ball, you know, was in his glove, takes
in
it out, puts
pocket.
It in his back pocket.
You don't want another ball to go in that back pocket.
No. You want that to be the Rizzo World Series memory.
I think they're going to win, but I can totally relate to that.
You know what we didn't talk about? Our guys, and I'm not predicting Hall of Fame here. I don't want to get caught up in that. But, like, what about guys like Jazz Chisholm, who's 26 years old? You know, if he comes over, he ends up being on a World Series team and then ends up having, like, this stellar career. Wouldn't that aid his Hall of Fame bid? I'm just saying.
Not seeing
like,
it.
I'm not predicting it,
yeah.
But I'm saying, like, Yamamoto, if he ends up having, like, this unbelievable career as a pitcher that is just getting started, and it starts with being with Ohtani and the Dodgers World Series championship. I mean, I'm not predicting this. I'm just saying we've gone over guys that probably have done enough.
I thought you were going to go toward the idea of whether – a guy like Dave Roberts, if he wins a World Series, would be considered after his second championship.
Yeah.
That would be potentially a conversation worth having. I don't see any other position player.
You don't think any younger player could use this as a launching pad for the rest?
Not really.
Let me ask something.
Realistically,
is Juan Soto in?
Not yet.
Not yet.
No, but I think that the projections based on his
he'd have to really mess up
his age and his success level. This would be his, if they do win, this would be his second World Series title with a different franchise by the time he's 26. Yeah. That's an arc that is headed straight toward Cooperstown.
He would have to really Baez up his career.
He would really have
to not be able to make
Now you're just being mean.
No, I'm just saying.
You're talking about now you're thinking of ex-Cubs who have not continued on that trajectory.
I was thinking of the fact that he's about to sign a massive contract and go somewhere else.
Oh, no Chris Bryant jokes, please.
Maybe Colorado.
Okay. No.
And
I knew it.
What are you talking about?
I saw that one coming a mile away, like a batting practice fastball. You just hit that one. Boom. Mm-hmm. Chris Bryant, Javi Baez. Remember Addison Russell on that team in 2016? A lot of guys who we thought were ticketed for stardom. Superstardom. Baseball immortality, even. No. Didn't happen.
A lot of texters. We're getting multiple texters now wondering how Anthony Rizzo compares to Harold Baines.
Well, the Harold Baines, that's a good question.
Didn't he open up the Hall of Fame for many people?
He also went in on the Veterans Committee.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that it's a fair question. And for the next project, we don't have enough time right now, but we will compare the stats of Harold Baines and Anthony Rizzo.
Okay. All right, we got Biggs time. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, will join us.
Yes, because you're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday, presented by your local Ford dealers and IDOT. It's not a game, Illinois.com.
Mully and Hall on the score.